together for a time not only of friendship and fellowship, but a time of worship. The lesson, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning, and many times I'll ask my brethren to kind of look around and share, especially if someone perhaps may have come in and did not receive a bulletin. Perhaps they'd like to follow along with the notes. The lesson preached on similar themes not very many weeks ago, a lesson titled, Why I Want to Go to Heaven. I know going out, several people mentioned to me a story that has been told quite often, but I'd like to hear it again, so I'm going to tell it. It's about the preacher that went into the Sunday school class, and he asked all the youngsters that were there, he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And all those kids raised their hand except one little boy. The preacher says, Johnny, it's always Johnny, isn't it?
Always Johnny.
Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He says, oh, yes, when I die. I thought you were getting up a load to go right now. Now, when I die, I want to go to heaven. Saw this in a church bulletin years ago. Preacher announced his sermon next Sunday would be on heaven. So a member of the congregation wrote to him. He said, dear preacher, I'm interested in that land because I've held a clear title to a bit of property there for years. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money, though it does cost me stewardship. But the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous price. I'm not holding it for speculation since the title is non-transferable. It's not a vacant lot because I've been laying up treasure and sending material for years. You will never need repair because it will suit me perfectly, and I will never grow old. Termites cannot undermine its foundation because it rests on the rock of ages. It doesn't need bolts and locks because no vicious person can enter into that land where my dwelling stands. It's almost ready for me to enter and to abide in peace eternally. And I have no fear of being rejected. There's a valley of deep shadows between this body and that place. But I can't reach that city of God without passing through that valley. But I'm also not afraid because the dearest friend I ever had went through that valley years ago and has taken away its gloom. That friend has been with me ever since we met. And I hold to the promise in printed form. He will not leave me nor forsake me. He will be with me to the end. He will be with me as I walk through the shadows, and I'll not lose my way. My ticket to heaven has no date. Heaven does not have a return coupon either. No baggage permit. And I'm not the only one going. Let me tell you more. In our lesson this morning, we're going to look at the subject of heaven just with four questions. You can see these in your notes. First of all, what is heaven? Second, where is it? What is this place like? And then, not a question, but it's a place where we go intentionally. How do we get there? First of all, what is heaven? I answer these in Bible terms. First of all, the Bible just describes it as a place. When Jesus is about to be crucified and be ascended back to the Father, he said in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, or I come again, and will receive you unto myself. So Jesus just described it, first of all, it's a place. A place. Second, it's described as God's place. In John 14, verse 2, Jesus began that instruction with, in my Father's house. Yeah. That is a place for us. In the Father's house. In Matthew 6, verse 9, when Jesus instructed the disciples to pray, it started this way, our Father who art in heaven. What's heaven? It's a place. habitation. 1 Kings 8, verse 30. King said, hearken unto the supplication of thy servant. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. What's heaven? The place. It's God's place. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2 just said, for God is in heaven. But just having that information, we say, okay, now I know that. But it has significance because point number three is our future home. It's one day it's going to be our place. And I want to go there. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul says, for we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be destroyed, meaning this body, this earthly house, it's going to be destroyed or dissolved. He says, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a place. When this body is dissolved, we're going to go to a place called heaven. In 1 Peter 1, verse 4, he speaks about our inheritance, what we're looking forward to. He says we have an inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So what is heaven? The place. God's place. Our future place. You know, we even sing songs like that. Jesse Gonzalez, when we always ask for, does anybody have a favorite song you'd like to have us sing, his hand may go up and he'd say, oh, sing, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Like these other songs, we're pilgrims or strangers here. This is not our permanent dwelling place. Second question is, where is this place called heaven? I remember, maybe well over a decade ago, because there was brethren here, Pam's parents, Palmer and Audrey Wilson, they always sat right over here. I've never known them to sit anyplace else when they were live and worship with us. But I think I was doing a lesson on heaven, or at least something along this same line. I said, now I'm going to tell you exactly where heaven is. And Audrey, I think she was kind of looking down at every book. And when I said that, she goes, she knew, we don't know where heaven is. You can see that little stutter, little stammer. What? You're going to tell me where heaven is? And then I read the first verse I had in my notes, where I said the Bible always describes heaven as up. And she goes, you can hear her sigh all the way from where I was standing. She almost like said, I knew that. But up, that's all the way, that's how the Bible describes heaven. When Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 1, these things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, where is heaven? It's up. No matter where you are on this earth, in its revolution, in its rotation, no matter where you are, this side or the other side of the earth, here or down under, heaven is up. So now you know where heaven is. It's up. In Acts 1, verse 9, when he had said these things, as they were looking, he, meaning Jesus, was taken up. Taken up. In verse 11, those that were there said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Even our songwriters key on this same attitude or idea. We have a song in our book called Up in Paradise Valley. Another song, above the bright blue. We said, where's heaven? Up. It's just up. Third question. What's the place like? What's heaven like? It's a place of perfection. I put several things in your notes to kind of give you an idea. Hopefully it's an encouragement or an incentive for you to go there. But number one, it's a perfect environment, at least the way I would think of it, my view of it. I mean, whatever the weather is here, weather be cold or whether the weather be hot. Whatever the weather, he weathered the weather, whether he liked it or not. And that's kind of the way we have to live here. We just have to like the weather, whether we like it or not. Will Rogers once said everybody complains about the weather, but they don't do anything about it. But heaven, perfect environment. Whatever the weather, I'm going to like it. Second, perfect government. I know here we have imperfect rulers. In many countries, there's oppression, persecution. Rulers don't always make decisions that will be beneficial to everybody. In all countries, there's some form or a segment or an element of greed or fraud or misrepresentation. But not heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Whatever God says will be right. Whatever he does correctly. It'll be a perfect government. No matter what your choice of government is here, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Texan, Oklahoma. It doesn't matter what your political views are, everything will be all right when we get to heaven. Perfect government. Perfect companions. You ever notice anytime, at least majority of people, anytime we're invited to go somewhere, you might ask, well, who else is going? Because sometimes who's going to be there might depend on whether I want to go or not. Who else is going? Or we might even say, well, are you going? You know, if you go, I'll go. We want to know who's going to be there, who's going. And in some way that helps us to make up our mind whether we're going to attend or not. So in Revelation chapter 20, beginning of verse 10, see who's going to be there. Or not going to be there first. Revelation 20, verse 10. "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. There are the beast and the false prophet. It shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In verses 14 and 15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I know who's not going to be in heaven. I'm sure I don't want to be with these people. The devil. The beast. The false prophet. Death. Second death. So then we take the opposite. Who is going to be there? Well, I put in your list. This is quite a dinner list. You know, when you invite someone, you invite folks that you want to be with. I want to be with these people. See, who's going to be in heaven? Obviously the Godhead. The heavenly host is going to be there. Old Testament faithful. All those whose faith is now being accounted for righteousness for them, they're going to be there. The church is going to be there. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 23, that Jesus is the Savior of the body. And the Bible defines what the body is in Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. So if he's the Savior of the body, he's the Savior of the church. It means we need to be a member of the body, be a member of the church, to be a member of the saved. It's a logical conclusion, I would think. In Revelation 21, verse 27, says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that makes an abomination a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." That's who I want to be with. your notes, are you going to be there? Are you? How do I know if I'm going to be there or not? Someone says. Are you a member of the body? Meaning, are you a member of the church? Are you numbered among the saved? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. I can't get around that. That's Bible. He is the head of the body, the church. If he saves his body, he saves the church. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who have been born again. So the question now comes back again. Are you going to be in heaven? But don't answer out loud.
I'll give you the same answer the Apostle Peter gave. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of His Spirit. That's the invitation. Do you want